This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have Corey Brackett with us on the line, and we're going to be talking about a video she's put together called Sweet Misery. But more than that, we're going to be talking about an organized plan to poison the American people. What most people do not understand is that for probably 15 years prior to 1981, the officials at the Federal Drug Administration had refused to certify aspartame, or NutraSweet, to be given to human beings, because in animals it produced brain cancers, it produced all sorts of neurological problems, and it produced pathological obesity. In fact, if you want to get any animal pathologically obese, why, you feed it NutraSweet. Haven't you ever noticed how fat so many of the people are drinking the diet drinks? Why do you think they're fat? You think they're drinking the diet drinks because they're fat? No, an awful lot of them are fat because they're drinking the diet drinks. And this was well known beforehand. And then, of course, during the Reagan transition team, when they came in certainly in the winter of 1980 and the beginning of 1981. And one of the men on that team was the head of Searle that was trying to market the product, aspartame. His name was Donald Rumsfeld. And he twisted arms and he called in all of his markers, and he got a deadly poison released to put in our food. Donald Rumsfeld, the same man who then went on to head a company that produced Tamiflu, and you wonder what the bird flu epidemic's all about, and my goodness, we're all going to die of bird flu, and we're going to have to buy massive amounts of Tamiflu. And of course, Donald Rumsfeld has tremendous stock holdings in the very company, I believe it's Gilead, that makes Tamiflu. So one of the people who's really benefiting from this whole scare of avian epidemic, which is, I fear, is very much being orchestrated for specific purposes most people don't understand, but under any circumstances, Donald Rumsfeld once again scores again. And the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And people develop brain tumors and progressive neurological disease. And one of those people was Corey Brackett. Hi, Corey. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Dr. Stan. It's good to be here. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Well, why don't you tell our listeners your story of what happened to you and how it was you became aware of the real problems with NutraSweet.
Sure. Well, first of all, I used to drink, about 6 to 8 cans of diet soda a day for 20 years. So I was a pretty heavy consumer. And in 2002, I started to have symptoms of multiple sclerosis and was diagnosed as such. And at first I panicked and couldn't believe what was going on. And then I started to finally do some research. And more often than not, aspartame kept coming up when I would look into multiple sclerosis. So eventually I went across the country with my husband, and we interviewed doctors and lawyers and activists and other people who say that they have had problems with aspartame, and we eventually wound up with the documentary Sweet Misery, A Poisoned World.
And of course we actually carry this DVD. We think it's an important part of this whole puzzle. Why are so many people pathologically obese today? Why is there such an increase in brain tumors across America? The FDA knows. They just don't want you to know. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Corey Brackett. Corey, pick up the story there. You know, of course, I assume, got completely off of aspartame.
Yes, we got completely off of the substance, and slowly I got better. My husband's thought processes and aim at darts and so forth improved greatly. His his hand-eye coordination improved. I improved from the point where I was in a wheelchair. I had double vision and slurred speech. I couldn't raise my arms over my head. I was pretty bad. And today I'm walking around just fine, laughing, able to communicate, I hope, and am quite happy after I have changed the way I look at what I ingest into my body and what effect it might have on it.
Well, of course, it appears that there are multiple causes for multiple sclerosis. In other words, they're not all related to NutraSweet, are they?
Not at all. From what I understand, you're exactly right. There are several different forms,
and I think this is what people have to understand. Some of these are related to an autoimmune disease, and some of them are directly related to immunizations. We find, for instance, about a 300% increase in the incidence of multiple sclerosis in nurses who took the hepatitis B vaccine. Foolish enough to take the hepatitis B vaccine compared with nurses who did not. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we find this probably with certain types of, autoimmune disease. We find it with certain mycoplasma infections. And there may be other causes as well. But under any circumstances, there are certain people that you've actually encountered who've gotten off the aspartame and done dramatically better, haven't they?
Yes. Several of them are featured in Sweet Misery, and also we have some people who specifically had MS or were diagnosed with MS in our upcoming documentary, Sweet Remedy, The World Reacts to a Poisoned Food Supply. And in that documentary, there are examples of one woman in particular who went to her doctor and did a supervised reintroduction of aspartame into her diet after about a year of improvement, and she had to get off of it within 4 days of using it because she had slipped so far back into this agony.
Well, I think it's so vitally important that people understand that they have licensed a poison and they know it's a poison. Thank you, Donald Rumsfeld. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Of course, Corey went around the country interviewing people. We were just saying off the air that there are a number of people who have MS who are not directly related to aspartame, and there's a certain number that are. And certainly autoimmune disease, vaccinations can bring this on. Probably other toxins, probably some of the chronic infections like mycoplasma, can have, play a definite part in not only MS, but anterior lateral sclerosis. Have you run into anybody who had so-called Lou Gehrig's disease that was related to aspartame?
Yes, actually a doctor, Dr. James Bowen, we interviewed, and he was fine and fit and swam a bunch every day, and then he was drinking aspartame juice, aspartame sweetened juice, and within days he was having a hard time climbing upstairs without, you know, collapsing. And he eventually wound up with a picture, as he says, of Lou Gehrig's disease, and that was about 20 years ago.
And did he recognize what it was coming from and get off the contaminated juices?
Yes, he did. Now he writes quite a few papers on the subject, and he's well and survived. Lou Gehrig's is supposed to be a fatal disease that does not allow for people, from what I understand, to live as long as he has lived, and he has far surpassed the prognosis that he received.
Oh, yes, it's a disease of young people. It's a progressive disease, and really, some people get to the point where they can't move anything at all. It's a horrible existence, and usually they die. So obviously, the fact that he's lived this long suggests that his disease is in total remission, just getting away from the aspartame and NutraSweet products. Now, of course, one of the people you interview is Dr. Roberts. Would you like to tell us a little bit about Dr. Roberts? Because actually, we carry his two of his books. One of them is Aspartame, The Forgotten Disease, I think it is, or The Ignored Epidemic. And then we have another book he puts out. Of course, we have Dr. Blaylock's excellent book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. But you had an opportunity to talk to a lot of the people that really have delved into this, it got into the chemistry of this, and the government cover-up, because, you see, there are good people in government, but if they tell the truth, they're going to lose their jobs, they're going to lose their pension, and as a result, most people really don't have the courage to speak out, and they will contact me or other people, and maybe even people like Corey, and tell the truth, but, certainly we can't talk about it publicly. So tell us what you have learned from talking to Dr. Roberts and Dr. Blaylock.
Both of those doctors are excellent doctors and free thinkers. Dr. Roberts wrote, as you said, Aspartame Disease. I think it's an ignored epidemic.
I think that you're absolutely right.
And that book is almost 1,000 pages long, and it's filled with case histories of people who, as he puts it, are aspartame reactors. And he's compiled these throughout the years and become somewhat of an expert on this. He named the term, he coined the term aspartame disease. A lot of people will say that, these case studies are really inconclusive because it's not a double-blind placebo study. But he has thousands of people in his book, and when you get to a certain point, it's not, you can't ignore the people that are retesting themselves on this, the substance, as he put it, 5, 10, 15 times, and they keep coming back with the same response. Then you're dealing with something that's quite a bit different. And Dr. Blaylock, I believe, is quite a brilliant man, too. He wrote, as you said, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. And he really is a wonderful resource on nutrition and behavior. He did a lecture recently that's out on DVD about that very topic. And he also really looks at he says that even if you have MS, for example, for any one of the other reasons that you mentioned, it's still not a good idea to consume diet sodas or any aspartame-based product or containing product, because it is an excitotoxin. An excitotoxin is something that literally excites the brain cells to death.
I think that's such an important point. An excitotoxin, and that's what aspartame is, and that's, of course, what your MSG is. They stimulate the cells. And one reason why, of course, MSG adds to the taste and the aspartame adds to the sweetness is because they act on the brain cells, but they kill them. And there is no question, of course, that it's proven time and again experimentally that it kills brain cells. Well, we got a lot of brain cells, but you'd use too much for too long a time, and pretty soon you begin running out of brain cells and cells in your spinal column, and this is the real problem.
So these are excitotoxins. I don't know about you, but I really think that I would like to keep all the brain cells that I can.
I think we would all like to. And I think that's really so tragic is they're not telling people. Did you run into this idea that aspartame produces pathological obesity?
Well, speaking from a personal perspective, when I got off of aspartame, I eventually lost 70 pounds without trying.
And I think it's really so amazing. We hear all of this propaganda. Oh, my goodness, we have so many people who are so obese. It's Colonel Sanders' fault. It's McDonald's fault. And there are people in the government who have access to the same information that Corey and I do, and there's so much information up there. Betty Martini's information on aspartame and NutraSweet is up on the internet. And if you go up there and just Google in aspartame, you'll come across certainly Betty's website. I think it's crossroad.to.
Doorway.com.
Doorway.com. Doorway.com. And you'll find a definite relationship to obesity. They've proven this time and again in animals. In fact, if you want to fatten an animal up, you put them on aspartame. So why would you feed it to human beings and then blame the Colonel or McDonald's when the scientists working at the FDA know what's going on? And the answer to that is very simple. They want to keep their jobs, and they're more concerned with keeping their jobs than they are with the health of the American people, because there's also a relationship to cancer, isn't there?
Oh, yes. Brain tumors. There was a recent study in Italy that talked about lymphomas and leukemias and so forth being caused, and brain tumors, I think, was the other, very specific things that they said. It was called the Ramazzini study.
And of course, a lot of these were done in animals, weren't they?
Yes, they were long-term studies. Also, there was the National Cancer Institute came out right on the heels with the Ramazzini study in Italy, saying that, aspartame is shown safe. We've done a study ourselves. But when you look at the study that they did, it's actually a survey, not a study, based on individuals' recollections. What about the controlled double-blind placebo studies? They didn't seem to do that here. They looked more at a survey of people's recollections from the AARP, the Association of Retired Persons, and they looked at their recollections, and it was all general. They looked at their melon consumption, and they looked at their grapefruit consumption, and they looked at their coffee and tea consumption. And then they said, do you sweeten your coffee or tea? They asked questions like that. It was very vague, and it was very unscientific. But when you read the headline, oh, the NCI says that aspartame is safe, then it seems like it must be true.
But, and of course, you see, the thing is, there are laws. I think it's the Delaney Law or something of the sort that, you know, if something produces a cancer in animals, you can't give it to human beings, drugs.
Oh, that's a very good point.
But, of course, they totally ignore those laws, you know, and they have the products on the market that they want to, and they take the products off the market they don't want to, for instance. I mean, certainly sleeping tablets. I mean, how many of our listeners have seen that wonderful ad for the sleeping tablet where the greenest butterfly comes into the room and of course circulates around the room and everybody is going to sleep. Well, of course, people used to have an essential amino acid, L-tryptophan. Works very, very well. It's essential amino acid. And because one company had a recombinant form of the disease in Africa that produced an eosinophilic granuloma, eosinophilic myositis, and a few people died, because one company in Japan put out an improper product and all the rest of it was safe, you cannot buy L-tryptophan in the United States today as a sleeping tablet. You've got to go to a proprietary and very expensive product. So they've outlawed the safe, easy things. And, of course, they keep things on the market. We don't know what product. Maybe it's perfectly safe. We don't know. But one thing we can tell you, it's a lot more expensive than L-tryptophan ever was. And they're specifically suppressing L-tryptophan, not because, produced properly, there's any problem with it at all. Because they don't want competition for a product that's making some drug company a lot of money. So think of that next time you see the green butterfly fluttering through the window, of course, coming down on the person who's sleeping so peacefully. And understand, you know, that they actually allowing products to be given to people in violation of our own laws that produce cancer and pathological obesity and neurological change and all sorts of terrible conditions in human beings. And you have to ask yourself, if this is really true, why aren't we hearing about this from Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity? Why aren't they hearing about it, Corey?
Well, if you take a look at the media consolidation that's going on, corporations, big corporations that have a vested interest in this very thing are the owners of a lot of the media companies, and there are very few owners of media companies nowadays. So,
and that's only 5 mega corporations control 90 to 95% of all the major means of communication. Gee, could that be why you're not getting the truth about what's really going on? Well, Corey, go ahead and pick the story up. What else did you learn in your travels around the country?
Oh, well, you know, I've learned a lot about PR and the workings of that. We were just talking a little bit about that. But also, you know, with the green butterfly that you were talking about with the sleeping aid in the commercial, that is a perfect example of PR. When you stress the emotions, you press the buttons of the emotions of the people, and you don't really stimulate their brain in their logical area. So you're getting people to want something because it has a bright colored box, or somebody is smiling happily at the camera even when there are, do not take this medication if you are under 20, over 30, pregnant, male, balding, or otherwise less than perfect type of thing. But yet somebody is on camera looking like they're really enjoying the pill, and if you take that, it's going to make everything okay. And unfortunately, that's not usually the truth. And instead of realizing that, I think a lot of people think that they're the exception to the rule rather than the rule itself.
Well, I think it's so vitally important that people begin to get the facts. And, of course, I tell our listeners that they're responsible for their health. We can only point you in the right direction to say, Betty Martini's website at doorway.com. Doorway.com. I think there's only one O in that, isn't there?
Yes.
Oh, doorway.com. And get her information. She's got, you know, page after page of scientific studies that... And the scientists know what's going on, but they don't have a voice. And their job is not to reach the people. Their job is to inform government officials and the government officials know what's going on, but they want to keep their job, and they're much more concerned with keeping their job than they are with the health of the American people. And that's a rather sad commentary. Under any circumstances, why it's so vitally important that we get the information out. And you know, the idea that brain tumors, this is one of the most horrible things in the world, and yet this was a consistent finding in animals that they would get brain tumors if they were fed on a regular basis aspartame or NutraSweet. And this is one reason why for 15 years the Federal Drug Administration officials, and to their credit, they did what was right during the 1960s and 1970s, they kept aspartame out of the diet of the American people. Now they put it into the diet for children. It's so many of the things that you get in the way prepared proprietary food. Of course, they give it to our elderly, you know, when they want to sweeten their things. But, I mean, the really frightening to me is that we are poisoning our children with a product that they know is going to produce brain tumors in a certain number of them and is going to produce all sorts of mental and neurological defects. And yet they do this with impunity because, after all, it's been cleared by the Federal Drug Administration and the people in government would never do anything to harm you. Or is it possible that they would? How would you respond to that, Corey?
Well, once it's approved through the FDA, it got approved throughout the whole world, and that happens a lot. There's still the clout of an entity like the FDA. But, you know, to me, without the evidence and without honestly looking at what's going on, there's a real problem.
Hold that thought, Corey. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Corey Brackett, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, because this is such an important subject, and you may not have heard about this before, but the fact that a tremendous number of the animals that were fed this developed brain tumors and other types of tumors, and this is certainly not only known in the past, but recently demonstrated in recent studies. And Betty Martini has all sorts of scientific studies up on our website at doorway.com, D-O-R, only one O in doorway.com, that will certainly verify exactly what I'm saying, the pathological obesity, the progressive neurological change, even the relationship to diabetes. And I think one reason that Dr. Roberts was so concerned about this, he's an endocrinologist, and you know, certainly physicians and people who treat diabetes are giving people with diabetes aspartame for sweetener, and it actually aggravates the diabetes. That's the most incredible thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting about diabetes. We're, for the upcoming documentary that we're doing, Sweet Remedy, they have we went and talked to the Tohono O'odham people, a tribal Native American group here in Arizona, and they're a group of people that used to be very, very healthy. And then with the import of convenience stores and fast food restaurants and supermarkets and them eating junk food, basically, they started to get diabetes. And now they have the largest rate of diabetes in the world. And we talked to them about that and about aspartame and about what they're doing about it. And really, what it boils down to is remembering what the community, what individuals are to, what we are to each other. And as you had said before, empowering each other and empowering ourselves to take charge of our own health care and our own lives and being honest with each other and not relying on authority figures blindly to give us answers passively.
What are the group of Indians going to do, this tribe? Are they aware of some of the things we talk about?
Oh, yes. And there was one person who's the head of a group called TOCA there, which is, it stands for Tohono O'odham Community Action. And what he does every year is they have a farm for this group, and they harvest Native American foods that are all, by the way, in nature, in what they always used to eat before this community, you know, convenience stores and everything came into being in their lives. And those foods were designed by God and nature to balance the sugar levels in your body and help to control your blood sugar levels so that they don't fall out of whack. So it was very, very healthy for them. And what he's doing is he's planting seeds from these native foods. And at the harvest, they have this festival where they all gather together from the tribe. And each family gets this giant squash from the harvest. And they get a bag of tapioca beans. And they get some choya cactus buds that are all some of these native foods. And they're distributed to the tribal members free by this community group. And they're starting to be more and more aware of what's important educationally.
Okay, well, basically, somebody just called in. They asked a question, is the sugar substitute called X-Y-L-A-T-O-L, X-Latol?
Oh, xylitol.
Right. Is that the safe?
You know, Dr. Blaylock talks about that, and he says that it is safe. There's some question about it being purely natural or somewhat artificial, but it's, from what I understand, it's a pretty safe substance.
All right, well, let me ask you a question. What about Splenda? Because, of course, this is supposedly this wonderful new sweetener that, you know, to avoid sugar. In fact, it's so good it's made out of sugar. Go ahead and tell us about Splenda.
Well, from what I've been told, it's a chlorinated hydrocarbon similar to DDT in its molecular structure.
Right. And, of course, it's not good for you. Splenda is not good for you. There's a couple of things that are not too bad. What about Spevia?
Spevia is a great substance. We talked to Larry Hagman, of all people, who's a diabetic, and he uses Stevia, and he has found that it works great for him.
And I think that that's true, and I think you have to know what you can use. Stevia is good, and this other one that that people called about is good. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you or have Corey answer your question. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Corey Brackett. Her DVD, it's both a video and a DVD, isn't it, Corey?
Well, yeah, it's a DVD that plays video.
Do you have a VHS version of it or just DVD?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand you. People can get it on VHS tape.
All right, I'm sure we carry both of them. We think it's a very important thing because you need, of course, to be constantly made aware of the fact that they're poisoning the American people. And it's not that they don't know back in Washington, D.C. They have all the records. We've talked about all the records, of course, that Dr. Olney, I think was his name. He was a physician who spent, you know, 15 or 20 years studying this. And of course, the FDA had all of his records. And, of course, Dr. Olney did everything he could to discourage the FDA from legalizing this. But why most people just went right along with it. Why? Because, of course, they wanted to keep their jobs. And when Donald Rumsfeld twists people's arms, if they don't give in, he breaks them, and that's the end of their career. So the people gave in, and in 1981, they legalized something they knew produced cancers and pathological obesity and diabetes and progressive neurological changes and mental disorders, and they're poisoning the American people with it, and they know exactly what they're doing. Well, we've got a John calling from Washington State. Hi, John. Do you have a question for our guest?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Well, I have a question for both of you or either of you. It's somewhat related, although it's not with respect to a sweetener. I was just wondering do you consider it to be safe, the substance called melatonin, which is used as a sleep aid?
Do you have any thoughts at all on that, Corey?
That's a little bit out of my area of expertise, Dr. Stan, so maybe you can take
it. I really don't want to comment on it, John. I think it's safe, but I really don't want to comment on it. I would have to get my copy of Dr. Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. I think you'll get the right answer there.
Yeah, I'm sure he goes into it there.
He does go into that, and I think he thinks it's all right, but don't quote me on that. If you want to, you can call me off the air, and I can check it out for you.
Sure.
Anything else, John?
That is just about it. The only reason I brought up melatonin is that in the back of my mind, since it is a hormone that is normally produced in the human being, I was just wondering, is there ever any trouble in introducing a naturally produced hormone into the body? If the body should react to that, would it produce an autoimmune reaction against the producers of the same substance?
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got John calling from Washington State. He just asked if melatonin is safe, and I said I thought it was, but I suggested he call me off the air to get something more learned, because I'd have to look that up. Remember, some things I can be very, very positive about, but I'm constantly learning in this field of alternative medicine because it's so different than my medical training was. So, John, if you'd like to call me off the air, and you know, or 800 number 544-8927, we'll come up with the answer for you, okay?
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan.
God bless.
Thank
good
you
to have
too.
You calling.
Thank you,
John. What part of Washington are you from?
I'm from Spokane.
Okay, very good to have you with us. Bye-bye.
Well, nice to hear your program.
Thank you. And
thank
Chris, it's John. He's listening to us on the American Christian Network up there, and that wonderful network that we have the privilege of being on every evening.
I've got a couple of comments, Dr. Stan,
right
about
ahead.
The natural substances. We talked to Dr. Pauline Harding in Chicago, and she was mentioning that that molecules of the same composition can be different. For example, some people don't have any reactions when they ingest sugar that's derived from beets, but the same sugar molecule derived from corn produces a violent reaction in the same people, even though the molecules are chemically the same.
All right, and I'm sure this is true. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And one of our callers called in and asked the question I knew was going to come up. What about saccharin? How does that fit into the spectrum of sweeteners?
Way back when, saccharin was accused of causing bladder cancer in rats. From what I understand, it was in large, very large quantities that the rats were being fed, huge amounts. And it got pardoned by Bill Clinton when he was pardoning people and things at the end of his tenure. So it's now considered safe by the FDA. I would opt for stevia or xylitol instead.
I think what they basically did was they had animals. They may have been rats. I thought they were cats, but rats, cats. They had a predisposition for bladder cancer. They fed them 6,000 times the normal daily dose of saccharin, and they did this specifically so they could do away with saccharin, so they could bring in aspartame. That's what it was all about. Oh, saccharin is terrible. You don't want to die. I mean, it produces bladder cancer in cats. They didn't mention, of course, it was 6,000 times the normal dose. And then, of course, once they got the aspartame in, the NutraSweet in, then, of course, they reneged and they went back and said it's perfectly all right to take. So you have to understand that they used phony science to get something that is a deadly poison into your food. And what is this doing to the minds of our children? Well, I will tell you that if you test the children of our country at the end of the fourth grade and you compare the test results with those children tested from other countries where they don't have all the luxuries we have here and all the aspartame and artificial sweeteners and all the other things we're giving our children and so many of the vaccines and other products that create an inflammation in the brain, our children at the end of the fourth grade do poorly. At the end of the eighth grade, they do even worse, and when they graduate from high school, the average American high school graduate cannot compete with the children from countries throughout the world. We score at the bottom, and I don't believe this is all education. I believe they are intentionally harming the minds of the American people. I mean, no country in Europe will allow water fluoridation. They do it here, knowing full well it's going to take at least 10 points, 5 to 10 points off the IQ. They're damaging the minds of the American people, and so often people come to me and say, well, you know, I keep trying to tell people what's going on, but they don't want to hear. I fear that many of these people are incapable of understanding. There's been an intentional effort to attack physically and physiologically the minds of our people. And I think it's a criminal act, but how are we going to get people to check out the facts and determine whether this is true or not? And if you want to know the truth about fluoride and water fluoridation, simply go to the site of the Union of the Engineers and Scientists and lawyers who work for the Environmental Protection Agency. That's NTEU 280, www.NTEU 280 for National Treasury Employees Union 280.org, and read their website. You realize what we're telling you is true. And the fact that the information can be concealed so effectively is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Well, our guest is Corey Brackett. Her video is Sweet Misery, and how soon will the new video be out, Corey?
Well, we're working on it right now. It's getting to be very exciting. I would say we're hoping by the end of the summer it should be ready.
Well, I hope you'll get us a copy of that, and we'll certainly carry that one as well, because I think your work is so important, and I think in a DVD form or a video form, and actually seeing the people and talking to people, you know, who have really made dramatic improvements after getting off of aspartame. And remember, everybody is not going to improve so dramatically, but have you found that some people get better even if they don't improve completely?
Yes. I find that people get better. I'm not quite sure what you're saying. Are you talking about
some
everybody?
People, of course, in your own case, you've completely recovered from really, sounds like a very advanced case of multiple sclerosis. But will some people, you know, who have MS get better but still maintain many of their original symptoms? It's just not quite so bad, and they're able to function.
I think personally, Dr. Stan, what a lot of it boils down to is what you're willing to put up with. I mean, I know that's not true for everybody, but at all. But I think that it's really important never to give up and to keep trying and doing and improving yourself as much as you can. There was somebody that I knew that has what I often call traditional MS. She's in a wheelchair now. She her hands are pretty much twisted up. She can't think too clearly. And I asked her once if she ever did anything with her diet, and she said, "Oh yes. When I was first diagnosed, I was very, very careful with my diet. I ate very properly and very carefully. I didn't tried not to ingest anything that was bad for me or anything that I read that was bad for me. I took every precaution possible, even if I wasn't certain." And she was doing very well. And then she said that she got stressed out, very severely stressed out over something. And she got, and at one point she just reached for a chocolate bar to eat and some junk food to eat. And she started to go downhill. So I think a lot of it has to do with constant vigilance and constant a balance between accepting what is happening to you and not accepting it, which sounds like a very, very fine line, and it is, but I think that that can help a lot.
Well, I'm sure that if you eat right, and of course you avoid all the toxic things that we come in contact with, and specifically aspartame, you may have a dramatic improvement. You may not do as well as Corey has, but these are all things that you need to do, and especially if this is related to chronic infection, because many times the human body can take care of the chronic infections through their immune system, but of course you've got to stop poisoning it, and you've got to get off of the things that we were talking about last night or the night before that are really so caustic and toxic to the individual. But that's an entirely different subject tonight. We're simply talking about Corey and her experience talking to people who've had MS and who've had dramatic improvement about getting off of this neurotoxic substance, which is being used to poison the American people and create diabetes and pathological obesity and, yes, tumors and lymphomas and leukemias, and they know what it's doing. They just don't want the American people to know. And one of the most incredible stories in the world, Corey, when you tell people about this, what sort of response do you get if they haven't really heard it before?
Well, you know, it's really amazing, Dr. Sam. When we were first working on the documentary, I would tell people what we were working on, and the reaction more often than not was, why are you doing a documentary about artificial sweeteners? You know, they would be like very puzzled and, oh, of course it's safe, of course it's fine. And as time has gone by, what I'm hearing very often is, oh, yeah, I heard that was bad for you. Let me take a look at it. And people seem to be much more open to a differing opinion now. And it's very exciting to see.
And I think that's really is so important. And I'm sure that a cumulative effect of certainly programs like ours and so many of the other talk show hosts who are getting this information out, and we're indeed fortunate in America, with all of the problems we have and with all of the control of the mass media, we still have an alternative voice here. We still have programs such as this and Christian networks and other networks that will carry our programs and similar programs. So unlike, say, in Great Britain, where there's almost no access to getting the truth out about what's going on, and in many parts of Europe and certainly in all the communist countries, here in America, why, we still do have some independent programming where we can reach the people and at least protect some of them from the disastrous effects of aspartame and MSG. And do you get at all into MSG and its effect as an excitotoxin?
Oh, yes. And that's, I'm very fascinated by talking to Jeffrey Smith, who has devoted a great portion of his life. He wrote a book called Seeds of Deception.
Right, we carry that book, too.
And he writes about GM foods. And I also talked to, Jack Samuels, who is the founder of truthinlabeling.org, and he talks about MSG. We also talked to the Feingold Association about food dyes, and they're very interesting. They did an experiment where they would bring children into their group who were eating a regular, standard American diet. And their handwriting oftentimes would be shaky, and they would juxtapose letters and put some letters backwards, and their handwriting was all screwed up. They put them on the Feingold program and had them eat the way that they were suggesting, took them off of things like food dyes and MSG and aspartame and so forth. And they recently came out with Do Not Take Aspartame, by the way, the Feingold Organization, which I was very happy to see. But the children's handwriting improved dramatically. And it was like night and day between the two. And we talked to them. So we talked to a lot of people about now that we know that there's a poisoned food supply that we're dealing with, what are people doing about that very knowledge? And how are we improving our lives?
And I think it's really so important to understand the danger of a genetically modified food, of the milk that comes from the recombinant bovine growth hormone, and the fact that it increases the incidence of cancer. And I don't drink anywhere near as much milk as I did before I understood that they know about this, and there really are people out there who understand that drinking milk increases the incidence of cancer. And they don't care. And 70% of all the milk we get today and the supermarket comes from cows that have been treated with this recombinant bovine growth hormone. And that's covered certainly in Jeffrey Smith's wonderful book entitled Seeds of Deception. And incidentally, we did an interview this afternoon with a woman who blocked the use of this recombinant growth hormone injections in cattle in cows in Europe, and she actually almost single-handedly was able to expose this criminal activity. And in Europe, they don't use the recombinant bovine growth hormone, and at least their people are not being afflicted with cancer like they are here in the United States. And it's not that this isn't known. It's just that the average individual doesn't know that. And so many of the other things we're talking about with Corey this evening about the disastrous effects of aspartame and MSG. Well, Corey, do you have a website people can go to?
Yes, it's www.soundandfury.tv. TV is in television, and is all spelled out, and it's all one word, soundandfury.tv.
All right, very good, and of course you can get the DVD there, or you can get it from us. What else do you have there on the website that would be of interest to people?
Well, we do all sorts of updates, and not too long ago I went to New Mexico and addressed the state senate there about aspartame, and we have that the speech that I gave on my site. We also have updates on Sweet Remedies, so that's a great way to take a look at when it's coming out. We have Nutrition and Behavior by Dr. Russell Blaylock, like I had mentioned before, on the site. We have a lot of information about things. We have a lot of links. We have an article by Dr. Blaylock about MS and aspartame on there.
All right, fine. And of course, does he definitely tie the two of them together? Does he have any idea how much of the MS is actually related to aspartame or aspartame-like excitotoxins?
Well, the problem with something like that is, in a lot of cases like this, there aren't really good statistics. Even though we can know down to the person, practically, how many people are in, you know, Jackson Hole, Mississippi, we don't know how many people are affected with aspartame. And it's a very difficult thing to actually ascertain percentages. Although I do know that as far as like brain tumor rates, for example, the year after aspartame was approved for use in carbonated beverages in 1983, in 1984, they had a jump of 10% of overall brain tumors, and with brain lymphomas, they jumped 60%.
Well, of course, the thing is that has the incidence of brain cancers on the rise? Is it increasing progressively?
Yes.
And certainly we know the pathological obesity is a direct byproduct of ingestion of aspartame, and pathological obesity is increasing. I mean, we hear about this all the time from the media, but they never mention that all those people who are drinking the diet colas and the diet drinks to fight pathological obesity are actually promoting pathological obesity. And why won't they tell us that?
I mentioned that I really believe that a lot of that has to do with the media monopoly that's going on in this country.
And you actually dropped 70 pounds after you got off of the diet drinks?
Without trying to lose weight, whereas before, for years when I was on diet soda, I would try everything to lose weight and I couldn't do it. I just kept increasing my weight.
Because when you're drinking the diet soda, you're actually predisposing yourself towards, getting the pathological obesity. Well, our guest has been Corey Brackett, and we'll be back here in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. And of course, you really want to get this information on aspartame. Well, Corey, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What's the message you'd like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Dr. Stan, first of all, I want to say that I'm really grateful for programs like yours where people can go on and explain the research that they've done and talk to people about what's going on when, you know, we're not all taken up on, you know, Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise talking about, you know, some important issues. And so I really want to thank you.
It's my pleasure, Corey, and I appreciate you coming on with us.
Well, it's been my pleasure for sure.
All right, fine. And of course, now your DVD will be available in the fall. And how is that going to be different than the one you did before?
Sweet Memory is a lot more hopeful. It's a lot. It's got a much grander focus because, as I had mentioned, we go into MSG and food dyes and GM foods, whereas Sweet Misery just talked about aspartame. And it also talks about taking charge of our own health and lives, which I think is so very important, and looks very much at what's going on that's wrong with PR and the FDA and so forth that we can't seem to get around and except for through venues that are alternative where people can still have freedom of speech.
And I think it's so vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, that you find out what's going on and that you begin preparing to look after your own health. Because if you don't, who's going to? And if not now, when? So, you know, we'll tell you in just a few minutes how to get some of the books, some of the information. And you read it, you check it out, but you need to go up on the Internet and you need to go to the websites. You must understand that there's a great deal of misinformation and disinformation on the web, and it is there for a very, very specific reason, and that is to confuse you so that you will not understand what is really going on. So we do hope that many of you out there will certainly get hold of the information and then help us to get it out. If we could just convince the good people of America on one subject, that they are intentionally and purposely poisoning our children. If they could really understand that and accept that to be true, then they might begin to question so much of the other things, or so many of the other things that they've been told and taught and that they've been assured by their doctor is perfectly all right. And there's not one doctor in 1,000 who knows what we're saying tonight. And it's not because he doesn't want to get the truth. He doesn't want to know. It's just that the organized medicine and organized dentistry is not telling the American people the truth. Corey Brackett, thanks very much for being with us again this evening.
Thank you very much, Dr. Sam.
Good night. God bless you.
Good night. God bless you, too.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest for this evening is Corey Brackett. Her DVD, or VHS, is called Sweet Misery, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. Now, we carry Dr. Russell Blaylock's excellent book, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, which covers not only aspartame, but also MSG. Both excitotoxins both have the same disastrous effects. And, of course, they conceal the MSG in foods. They give it all sorts of artificial names just to confuse you. Now, Dr. Blaylock does cover this to some extent in his book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, which we think is a vitally important book for you to get. And then we carry Dr. Robert's books. He has two of them on aspartame. One is Aspartame, The Ignored Epidemic. And, of course, his other book on aspartame, name escapes me right at the present time. But you could ask for Dr. Robert's books on aspartame. Then, of course, we carry Jeffrey Smith's book, Seeds of Deception, that goes into how the genetically modified foods are creating cancers and disease and impotence and all sorts of problems in our people. And they know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. We have a great four-tape set on genetically modified diseases. It's a genetically engineered disease, I think, is the title. And then, of course, we carry another book called Beware GMOs, Genetically Modified Food. You need to have this information, and you need to begin looking into diet, and you need to realize that you cannot depend upon the government. They're allowing poisons in your food that are going to poison you and going to poison your children. They're putting things in our water that are poisons, and specifically water fluoridation does not simply fluoride. There's lead in there, and there's arsenic, and there's cadmium and plutonium, radioactive plutonium. And if you check the blood of children who are drinking fluoridated water, the level of lead is always increased. There's no safe level of lead, in our children, because it's extremely neurotoxic to the brain. And yet, for whatever reason, if the water in the community is fluoridated, the lead level in children always goes up, whether it's pulling the lead out of the solder, or it is the fact that they really not using fluoride, they're using hydrofluosilicic acid that contains lead, and they're putting it in the water supply. And you say, that can't be true. I suggest, ladies and gentlemen, you go to the website, www.nteu280.org. That's nteu280.org. And that is the website of the unions, 11 unions of the people who work for the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, the lawyers, the engineers, the scientists, the doctors. They're trying to get the American people to understand they're being poisoned. 67% of our water supplies are being poisoned, and they can't get the word out because of the control of the media. Go to their website. Check it out. If we're not telling you the truth, it'll be obvious. If we are telling you the truth, then you've got to help us because they're poisoning our children. NTEU280.org. Then you need to get my talk on the hidden agenda. It's available in VHS. There's a syllabus that goes with that with all the scientific studies. You need to get both the syllabus and the VHS. And, of course, you get the two of them together, you'll get a decreased price. But the important thing is to get the information, to get the book, The Fluoride Deception, to understand how they're poisoning our children. And then if you want to know the relationship between autism and thimerosal in vaccines, there's a book, Evidence of Harm, which we carry. We have four tape sets on autism. We have four tape sets on mercury. You must understand that there are treatments for this terrible disease, autism, and there's an organized campaign to keep our children from being helped and to discourage you from getting them chelated or treated for this terrible disease of autism, which has been intentionally produced. We ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. And we'll be back in just a moment for the next hour. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line our good friend Ron Brown. How are you doing tonight, Ron?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan.
And, of course, Ron's just out of surgery. He's good enough to come on the program. How long have you been out of the hospital?
Last Friday.
All right, fine. Well, it's just a week then, and it's good to have you with us. Anyway, of course, We're going to be talking this evening about what's happening on the markets, the stock markets. Those are who are watching and seeing what's going on. I have heard that General Motors is entering into negotiations with Renault and Nissan Motors to have some sort of a partnership to try to bail General Motors out of the difficult situation that they're in today. They're losing billions of dollars every quarter. I don't know how many billions of dollars they lost last year. But actually, if they were required to do an accurate appraisal of the value of General Motors, taking into account all the money that they owe for their pension funds that they have not properly funded, they would be $43 billion behind the actual value of the country. In other words, the stockholders would not only have no value at all, they would have a $43 billion deficit in their holdings. And, of course, what's significant about negotiating to form a partnership with Nissan and Renault is that Nissan is very, very famous here in the United States for grinding down the wage level of their employees to about $9. Now, you get up into the Detroit area, you're talking about $24, $26 an hour, and by the time they get all their benefits, they're up to maybe $60, $65 with their pension benefits and all those other things. And Nissan's paying $9 an hour for their employees with very, very few benefits. And the thought is that maybe what the real intent is to grind down the level of the workers here in the United States to that level. Because I believe there's an organized plan to lower the living standards of the American people. I believe that certainly Alan Greenspan and Paul Volcker, who are both part and parcel of the international elite, and go right along, I'm sure, with the Earth Charter that talks about redistribution of wealth or equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations, what they want to do is lower our living standards. Have you given that any thought at all, Ron?
Well, I've been following that process now for 30 years. In fact, my favorite quote, I'm sure I've given it several times on the show, but back in the early 70s with the Trilateral Commission, and I remember Richard Gardner made a statement, and basically all the trilaterals had said basically the same thing in different words, but the way Richard Gardner put it is he said, what we must do is take an end run around national sovereignty, to erode it piece by piece, to raise the standard of living of the undeveloped countries of the world while we lower the standard of living in America so they can more comfortably be merged into a new world order.
And of course, now you'll find that quotation in the April 1974 edition of Foreign Affairs magazine. April 1974, Richard Gardner. And of course, these people know exactly what they're doing, but they can't let the American people know what they're doing. So we're going to be back in just a moment with Ron Brown. And of course, if you'd like to give us a call, you have any questions or comment about what's going on, why give us a call. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But you are watching the planned economic demise of the United States as our factories, our jobs are being shipped overseas. And with that, the wealth. Well, Ron wanted to pick up the story. Certainly, this has been sort of an exciting month as far as precious metals are concerned. And for those of you who don't know, Ron Brown does deal in precious metals, and he does help support Radio Liberty, and we appreciate that. But certainly, this has been quite a ride of what happened a couple of weeks ago and then what's happening here this last week or so.
Well, you know, Dr. Stan, it started the year. I was just looking at the figures. I went back at the beginning of the year. Silver started out at $8.90 an ounce, while gold was about $503 an ounce. And by May the 12th is when it peaked, with silver right at $15 and gold at $730. So at the peak, silver was up over 70%, while gold was up 45% for the year. One, that's a pretty rapid ascent, and about to spin out of control. So a combination of events. One, the market had gotten away from itself, was going a little too fast probably. Some of the speculators started to maybe trade it from the short side. But, of course, the big factor is that the international bankers, who are massively short the market, they use those opportunities to step in and really manipulate it and hammer it to the downside. And all they really did was trigger a margin massacre on these leveraged traders in the futures market and so forth, where it forces the small players out of the game, and they're forced to sell their position as they get hammered in the downside, and that of course allows the bankers to drive the price dramatically lower, and yet at the same time cover some of their shorts.
And Chris, I think what people have to understand is that some of the major banks have been actually talking about how price of gold was going to go up. At the same time, they were short in the market. And when you are short in the market, it means that you're actually figuring the price is going to go down. So you sell the gold that you may not even have, but you sell it, and then, of course, you buy it back at a lower price, and you make a profit. That was known as short selling. And you've got to be pretty sophisticated if you're going to get into that, because if you don't know what's going to happen ahead of time, why, you could lose your shirt and your trousers and everything else. But these people know what's going to happen because the markets are manipulated. And if you really honestly believe we have free markets, either in the commodities or the stock market, I think people are incredibly naive. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Absolutely. People just don't believe that our government could be manipulating the market like that, but they've actually come out many times and have really admitted that that's what they do. Of course, they call it stabilizing the market, not manipulating. So, but the plunge protection team, which is common knowledge now, that's what they're designed.
Hold that stuff right there, Ron, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest is Ron Brown. I mentioned just a moment ago that Ron does support Radio Liberty, and we appreciate his support, but we'd like, of course, to talk about what is happening as far as the markets are concerned, because, of course, gold dropped dramatically about a month ago, and then after being down really no more than a week to 10 days, started back up again from 550 is about to 6. Where did it close today, about 630?
Right at 6:30.
All right, fine. And then silver, it was way down into the nines. It's up to 11:50. In fact, it was opened at 11:50 this morning. And then, of course, really what's so interesting, if you watch it, you know, of course, you really would think you'd compare what happened yesterday to what's happening today. But what they do is they say, oh, well, it opened at 11:50, and then it dropped. Oh, it dropped 20 cents. It's down to 11:30. It's falling. Which is not really falling. It actually is up 10 cents from where it was yesterday. And these are significant moves. It's suggesting that the people who control these markets are losing control. They're still trying to keep as much control on as they can, because they do not want the American people to begin to question the value of the fiat money system that we have in America that is teetering. And, of course, if people really understood what is going on, why, of course, they would, be getting out of doing everything they could to protect their savings. Most people will not realize what's happening until it's far too late. And as always happens in markets like this, they end up losing their homes if they can't make the payments on them, and their cars. This is where there's a tremendous transfer of wealth from weak hands to small hands. Then we'll go ahead and take calls. If you'd like to give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, give us a call, and if you have a question for Ron. But I think that it's so important that at times like this, the people do understand what's happening. Certainly, both Ford and General Motors are teetering on the verge of bankruptcy, and Ford is talking about moving their plants down into Mexico and just laying off their employees here. And, of course, the tragedy of that is that, let's say, you lay off 35 or 50,000 workers here, but for every job you take out of the United States, another 3 or 4 or 5 people lose their jobs because, of course, they're servicing the people who are servicing the people who work for Ford Motor Company. And General Motors is transferring its jobs overseas. Actually, I think it has 37 or 40,000 people who are going to be bought out. They're going to take $50,000 to $150,000 for the right to their job working for General Motors. And those jobs are going to go to China. And instead of paying $60, $65 an hour with benefits here in the United States, they'll be employing people for probably $4 or $5 a day over in China. and the people there will be happy to work for it. So it's simply going to be that they're going to be equitable distribution of wealth, our wealth to China and other countries throughout the world. Ron, do you think the average person realizes what's happening?
Absolutely not. In fact, you know, what's really shocking me just the last couple of weeks has been more and more talk just kind of coming out glibly talking about this Amero, where they're going to come out with one currency for Mexico, the U.S., and Canada. And I am just absolutely amazed that there's no one that seems to be outraged that they're even discussing it. I mean, if you really think about it, to even contemplate doing something like that, you're really saying we're going to give up our national sovereignty. We're going to eliminate our constitutional republic. And yet I haven't heard anyone really standing up to really say, this is ridiculous. But that's kind of how far out people are. They just seem to be, as long as they've got a job and the markets seem to be doing okay, they just, and I guess their sports team is winning next week or having a good season, then no one really seems to be noticing what's going on with the country, and that is the United States, as we know it, is being unraveled and moved into this global system, if you want to.
Well, I think it's really very interesting going along with that thought that the average American really is against giving amnesty to people who've violated our laws and come here illegally. And they think that it's wrong to reward them for violating our laws. But they don't see the big picture. They don't understand why it is that President Bush has steadfastly refused to enforce the laws. Why he, of course, go after Martha Stewart, the wicked Martha Stewart, who got a tip on a stock and sold it, and should have been far better off to kept the stock, because actually the stock went up. But they'll go after Martha Stewart, but they won't go after the employers, the large major employers who are employing so many of the people who are here in this country illegally. And Tyson used to have to pay $19.50 for a meat cutter. Now they can get them for $9 an hour. They know they're hiring illegal immigrants, but of course they're being encouraged to do that. Why? Because our government really wants to encourage migration. They call it not illegal immigration, they call it migration. Isn't that a nice word? And who could be against migration? Don't the birds migrate? Why shouldn't people migrate to this country? Why shouldn't everybody migrate to America? Isn't this the land of opportunity? Are we a nation of immigrants? Well, we are a nation of immigrants, but if too many come at one time, especially when you have a social structure like we do, with all sorts of welfare benefits that we can't afford, and Social Security benefits, and there's no money in the Social Security fund, and free medical care, pretty soon you end up bankrupting the country. Well, let's go to Dan, who's calling us from Houston. And again, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
Great. Appreciate your show, as usual. I was going to talk about what happened here in Houston on the front page of the Houston Chronicle a year or so ago. A man lost his foot on the job working at, so he was going to get $1 million because he lost his foot. And then, he found out he couldn't have the money because the labor union he was a member of had cut a deal saying that no member could sue. And, therefore he's, of course, in dire straits with his family to make, and on welfare because he could not have $1 million that the jury awarded him from his on-the-job injury, to show how labor unions are the enemy of the average working man. Well, and then also, another incident was, which I was involved in, the labor unions, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, other unions too, the Teamsters, they went to Austin, Texas, and the issue was the law concerning workers' compensation for workers' injuries. And they were actually against the workers. They went there and they actually publicly stated they don't want injured workers to get a lot of money because that raises the cost of the union insurance policy for the members. And that people don't have the impression that unions are for the individual worker, but they're the enemy of the individual worker, and that's what I call to say.
All right, well, you hang on there for a minute. Let's get Ron's response. How would you respond to Dan?
I don't know how to respond to that. You know, it's just that the scriptures say in the end times, right will become wrong and good will become evil, and it seems like our whole world is being turned upside down. That and that's a perfect example of it. The unions who should be working for the people have probably made deals.
And that's really the great tragedy, Dan. You see, initially, the unions were a good idea. And when Samuel Gompers was out there, he was totally against socialism. He was against big government, but he wanted a better deal for the working man. Because, you know, when you had simply unbridled capitalism, you had very wicked and evil people. And they were, of course, you know, 100 years ago, everybody knew that the Rockefellers were involved with union busting and actually killing people and murdering them, bringing in gangs of thugs to murder people who objected to working for the Rockefellers. People wanted to go out and strike, and of course they just killed the strike breakers. That was well known 100 years ago. We'd never talk about that anymore. So unions came on board, and Samuel Gompers had said, you know, look the world over wherever you will, and wherever you see compulsory government benevolence, you will see initiative removed from the hearts of men. So he wanted people to work. He wanted them to get a fair job. He wanted them to be able to organize, you know, against their employers so that they could get a fair shake. Well, of course, the Rockefellers and the people of great wealth recognized that they were going to have to somehow neutralize this movement. So they began hiring people to go into the labor unions to organize them, not for the benefit of the working men, but for the benefit of the employers. And if you read the book Capitalism and Freedom by Milton Friedman, he tells you about John L. Lewis, who organized the United Mine Workers. And he had a sweetheart deal with the coal mine producers. And every time they had plenty of coal, in other words, massive stocks of coal, and they couldn't sell it without lowering the price, then he'd get the workers to go out on strike, and of course they wouldn't get paid for 3 or 6 months at a time. And all during that time, while the mine owners would actually be selling off these massive stocks of coal, and then when the massive stocks were gone, then they'd negotiate a settlement and give a little bit more money, and the workers would think that they actually won, but they'd never be able to recoup all the money that they'd lost. And a close working relationship between the leaders of the unions and, of course, the establishment. And right today, for instance, I can't tell you about the current leadership of the AFL-CIO, but I will tell you that the past leadership, many of them all came from the Council on Foreign Relations, where they rubbed shoulders with the leaders of corporate America. And they were not there to represent the working man. They were there to represent and to lead the working men for the benefit of the people, the captains and the kings who rule our economy. Anything else you want to say, Dan?
Yes, sir. One more thing, too, I could say. I've called talk shows over the years about this subject, and I've gone to a union meeting where what they call the business agent, he's the one that runs local independent union halls of each city, of each type of craft, the Teamsters, electricians, whatever. And I've actually been told face-to-face more than once to keep my mouth shut, quit calling talk radio shows. I've been threatened to stop making calls like this.
Well, you can call us anytime you want to, okay? Thanks so much for calling, Dan.
Yes, sir.
Bye-bye. And I'll tell you what, of course, you get into a union and you try to buck the union, they will beat you up. They may even kill you. This sort of thing actually goes on in our society today. Of course, remember what happened to Jimmy Hoffa. We'll be back in just a moment with Ron Brown. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we don't want to get too far into unions. That's an entirely different subject, but there are very, very real problems with our unions today, which in many instances do not represent the employees. They represent the employer, but they can't let the employees know that. So, Ron, of course, as we see what's happening, do you sense that the economy is beginning to contract here in America?
Well, absolutely. And, of course, that's the dilemma that the bankers are in. They've created this massive economy and financial system based on nothing but debt. And as that debt system gets larger and larger and larger, it gets harder and harder to keep the thing afloat, because all the money is going to pay the interest on the debt. So they have to keep the system growing. But the more they inflate, the more they destroy the credibility of the paper currency. And now we're at a point where over the last 2, 3, 4 years, it's rather obvious to me that the whole world is phasing out of dollars, and they're going to eliminate the dollar as the world's reserve currency. And so the Fed, you know, poor Fed chairman is in a between a rock and a hard place. He has to inflate to keep the system from imploding on itself, and yet at the same time he has to put up a front and pretend he's fighting inflation, and that's the whole charade that's going on right now. But, you know, they've been trying to raise interest rates or to show a stand against inflation, but that's what's starting to slow the economy. So pretty soon you're going to see them announce that they're going to they stopped raising interest rates, and of course they've been inflating all along. So, but then that's when these markets will turn around and start up an inflationary binge, and that's when gold and silver will take off.
Well, you know, I think it's really so interesting that for our listeners, you have to understand that the psychology is if you raise the interest rates, you're fighting inflation, you're trying to slow down the economy, you're trying to act responsibly to prevent this exuberance, this inflationary spiral. But at the same time that we're raising interest rates, we're massively increasing the debt, which, of course, is built upon easy credit. And that is highly inflationary. So you can't raise interest rates to fight inflation while you're increasing debt, which is stimulates the inflation. And one of the most carefully kept secrets, and for any of our listeners that like to see the official government figures, we have them, actually. Of course, they stopped reporting M3 so that you can't figure out what they're really doing, how much money there is out there throughout the world. Last time, it was going up about $500 billion a year. But that was as of course, the end of March. But we have recently got the figures on the debt between January and March of this year. And the debt, the total debt, federal, state, local, individual, car debt, housing debt, went up $1 trillion in 3 months. That would be the equivalent of 10% increasing, debt, every year. And this, of course, will, within a relatively few years, will totally destroy the value of a currency. So on one hand, they're fighting inflation. On the other hand, they're stimulating inflation. And you can't do it both ways. You're going to have to either stop the inflation or you're going to lose the dollar. And, of course, my concern is that the dollar is going to be destroyed. And with that will go the savings of our listeners, those people who have annuities, those people who have bonds, those people who have bank accounts, those people who have CDs, those people who are in pension funds. Anything denominated in dollars will be completely and totally destroyed. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ron Brown. And if you're out there across America and you have a question for Ron, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And I was just saying that everything that the Fed is doing is wrong. They're raising interest rates, which is, of course, what you should do to slow down inflation, and massively expanding debt. Debt went up $1 trillion in the first 3 months of this year. If any of you would like to see the figures, they're called the ZIP figures, and we actually have them from the Fed. And these are the only figures that are available because they said, oh, shucks, it's just too expensive to come up with the figures for M3. It might cost, you know, a few thousand dollars. We don't have the money. And as Congressman Ron Paul said to Chairman Bernanke, what do you mean you don't have the money? You can make money out of nothing. Why won't you give us the M3 figures? Oh, it's just too difficult to come up with them. Well, we have the ZIP figures, $1 trillion in 3 months that they've expanded the debt of this country. And, of course, this is, of course, going to eventually result in the destruction of the value of our currency. And, of course, the solvency and the stability of a nation and a society is built upon the stability of the currency. An unstable currency, unstable society. What are your thoughts, Ron?
Well, you know, if you step back, and in fact, when I used to do monetary seminars for people, I'd always start off with an illustration. And I would ask people, what if I came in here with a 1,000-piece puzzle in a brown paper sack and I dumped it on the table and I said, guys, y'all put it together, what would be the first question that you would ask me? And, of course, everyone would say, well, what is it a picture of? And that's exactly part of the charade. See, what we have is a confidence game where we have a monetary system built on nothing but debt, so therefore it becomes a confidence game. And so all the monetary authorities, they're main job is to keep people confused so that they don't see the truth. about what inflation is. So the biggest problem we have is that 95% of the people out there, maybe 99% of the people, think inflation is higher prices, and that's part of the charade that they convince us, and they've changed the definition of inflation to mean just rising prices. Well, inflation is not rising prices, and higher prices are the result of inflation. So when you create more money and put it into circulation through debt or however, you've got more money chasing the existing goods and services, and therefore it would naturally drive the prices higher. But to start off with the assumption that inflation is higher prices means you're helpless to try to figure out what causes it. And that's what everyone that goes through college and economics, we've learned, we've been brainwashed. And so we're taught to think inflation is higher prices when in reality it's just a symptom of inflation, which is the increase in the money supply and credit, period.
And, of course, when you increase the money supply, you create an artificial prosperity. And if you want, let's you as the average individual out there in the audience, wants to make a profit, why, you borrow money and you maybe build houses. And then you build houses and you sell those houses. And there's always people out there with money to buy them. And you take that profit and you build a lot more houses. And a lot more people come and buy them because it's easy for them to buy the houses. But what happens when the money supply begins to shrink? Because the Federal Reserve System has two choices. One is to destroy the value of the currency altogether, or two, to contract the monetary supply. That is what they have traditionally done. And to an extent, they're actually making it a little bit more difficult to get money at the present time. They can't put the brakes on too quickly, but they're beginning to apply them. So it's getting harder to borrow money. And that's the only way to control this mushrooming debt. I was in Brighton in Colorado, just north of Denver, earlier this week. And there are literally thousands of beautiful new homes, and some of them are still being built. And many of them are completed, and they're sitting empty. Because nobody, or very, very few people, can come up with the money to buy them at the present time. I mean, last year they were selling like hotcakes, and the year before they were selling like hotcakes. And today, the prices are beginning to come down just a little bit. They haven't begun to plummet yet, but you know what eventually is going to happen is you're going to be able to buy those houses at 30 or 20 cents on the dollar. You know, when they've really begun to contract the money supply, because this is what always happens in the economic cycles. It's just been so long since the American people have gone through this, and so many of your young people don't understand how the system works. Would you agree, Rod?
Absolutely. I remember back in the early, mid-80s when we had the savings and loan crisis, and my specific experience was in Texas, and I had several clients who bought townhomes in Texas for about $100,000 each. And when the savings and loan crisis hit and the market topped out, they just stayed stagnant for a year to 2 years. And then one big builder outside of Houston had no choice. He couldn't floor plan his houses anymore. He had an auction.
Hold that. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Ron Brown. And Ron was just telling about, of course, what had happened in Texas there. One of the big builders had so many houses, and he's doing all this on borrowed money. And he has to pay the interest and at least some of the principal back to the bank. And it's all right, you know, for a few months, and you have enough money if you're a very wealthy builder. But, you know, if you're not a wealthy builder and you've got to make those interest payments every month, pretty soon you begin to run out of money. So, of course, ordinarily in good times where you can always borrow more money. But what happens when you can't borrow money? And, of course, that's what happens at this time in the economic cycle. And I think we're increasingly going to see that, where it's going to become increasingly difficult to borrow money, whether that'll be in 3 months or 6 months or a year or 2 or 3 years, I don't know, but it's going to come. And when that happens, why, all these people who've got all this property there and are having to pay interest on it, and they don't have the money to pay the interest, why they're out of the game. They've got to put it up for auction. They've got to sell it for whatever they can get for it. And our suggestion is that I don't think that is too far away. What about you, Ron?
I think we're getting very close to it. I have a lot of clients out in California, and they're telling me that market's in many places is getting very toppy and very slow. And fear for the people who stepped in at the end of the game and bought these vanilla houses for $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 out there, and once this market tops, those could be $100,000, $200,000 houses very easily.
Well, the gentleman I stayed with on Monday night had paid $149,000 for his very nice, comfortable condominium, but this was, of course, about 10 years ago. Now he's going to have to sell it probably for $10,000 more than he paid for it. $10,000 less than he paid for it. In other words, in the past, all the price of everything went up here in California, especially where I live. Why, you could buy a house, you know, and it was going up 10-20% a year. In fact, here, you know, about a year and a half ago, things were almost doubling in price, you know, in a year. And now everything stopped. Prices are not going up. Increasingly, it's hard to sell homes. You see the number of for sale signs out there, and they're not coming down. It used to be those signs would go up, and, you know, within a day or two, the house would be sold. But we're sort of past that point, aren't we, Ron?
Yeah, and that explains to a great degree why the economy is slowing. People can no longer go back to their bank every 1 or 2 years and refinance the house and pull another $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 out of equity to go out and buy them a new Lexus or a new whatever.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Ron Brown. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Ron Brown. And our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But at this point, before we go on, Ron, I'd like you to go ahead and get your telephone number out and how people can get in touch with you. And if, of course, they'd like to get the material that you offer free of charge, how they can do that.
Sure, my telephone number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561. And, you know, we cover a lot of topics in a short time here, so if we don't completely cover something and people are kind of confused about what we said or didn't complete it, just feel free to call me and I'll fill you in as best I can on what I think really happened.
Well, I think what's really so interesting is we're seeing the evolution of this economic cycle. We're seeing, of course, the first signs that they're beginning to make it more difficult to actually borrow money. Of course, the interest rate, I think, went up to 5.25%, and it'll probably go up to 5.5%, and then everybody's suggesting the interest rates are going to stop at that point. And I don't believe that for 1 minute. I believe that they're going to have to keep raising the interest rates, you know, to try to control the spiraling inflation. They will tell you that the inflation is only 2.5%. Now, these are very, very smart people. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want us to know. And they say inflation is 2.5%. Of course, that excludes food and energy and the price of new housing. And of course, we know that they're not taking into the increasing price of drugs and the increasing price of rentals and all of these other things. They're simply lying to the American people. You know, certainly gasoline's almost doubled here in the last year and a half. But how can then we have 2-3% inflation? And, you know, look at the price and see what's happening to food, because the price of food keeps going up. The price of everything is skyrocketing, and they know what the real price inflation rate is. It's between 8-10%. And they realize if they don't put the brakes on the economy, that the whole house of cards is going to come tumbling down, and they're going to be underneath it. So they're beginning very quietly to make it more difficult to borrow money. And as they suddenly begin to tighten and slowly begin to tighten money, because if they did it rapidly, the whole house of cards would come down immediately. As they begin to do this slowly, why, eventually we begin to see a contracting economy. We see people, you know, not being able to go out and buy things as they have. The other day I saw that I forgot whether it was a Circuit City or Home Depot, something like that, was saying, you know, come in, buy your things. You don't have to make any payments and no interest until 2008. No interest until 2008. I mean, they're doing everything they can to get people to buy, because they've got to keep their volume up. If they stop expanding, if they stop the volume sales, then of course they can't buy a discount. If they can't buy a discount, they can't be competitive, and their whole economy of so much of our retailing would just begin to fall apart. Okay, Ron, of course, are you seeing this where you are as well?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I think people just have to step back and understand the nature of the game. And really, it's a confidence game. Everything the government, when they come out, I'm convinced whenever the government comes out to make any type of announcements, whether it's statistics at the end of the year on inflation or whatever, they sit down and say, what impression do we need to make to keep the markets going the way we want to go? So they just tailor everything they say to try to, like, news isn't, today isn't to give people the news of what's going on, it's to tell people what to think about the news that's going on. So everything is, it's just psychological warfare is what it amounts to. And so if people don't step back and start thinking for themselves about what's really happening to the economy, and once you realize that the whole monetary system is really nothing more, I've said this a dozen times, I guess, on the air, is nothing more than a gigantic Ponzi scheme, in that they have to keep it growing, yet they have to keep the illusion that they're fighting and keeping inflation under control. And that's a very hard thing to do, especially when you get into the latter stages of a monetary cycle, and that's where we are. The debt structure has become so massive that they cannot allow it to contract. They must keep it growing, and yet, as they run the printing press to keep it going, then they further destroy the credibility of the currency, and now the foreigners who we are dependent on to loan us, what, $2.5 billion a day just to keep the treadmill greased, they're finally saying, no more, we can't do it. So as foreigners back off and refuse to finance our deficits, then it's going to get harder and harder for the monetary or the central bank here to keep this thing under control. And I think that's what's happening. They're losing it right now.
I think really what's so interesting is that a number of countries have actually said they're going to double their gold holdings with the backing of the reserve for their currency. Now, most of the countries in the world are holding large numbers of American dollars as the backing for their currency. And, of course, one reason they do that is because if you were going to buy oil, and, of course, almost every country in the world, unless maybe you're in Saudi Arabia or in the Middle East, is dependent upon the ability to buy oil in the market, because that's what fuels their economy and creates the energy that they need. So oil has been monetized in American dollars, and that's why all countries are holding American dollars. But increasingly, we're seeing Russia talking about they're going to, of course, selling their oil not in dollars, but in rubles or in euros. And Iran is talking about selling their oil in euros or in gold. And if more and more countries do this, why, there will be no advantage to holding American dollars as reserves, especially when its value is beginning to drop. Now, certainly it's been up and down here over the last couple of years. And in fact, it came back rather strongly, within the last 6 months, and then went down to almost 80, and now it's back up to about 86. But in the last few days, it's been dropping. The price of oil hit actually, what, 60, wasn't it, $76 or $77 today?
Yeah, 76 is what I saw.
All right, and but it actually, I think, hit the highest level and then backed off some from that highest level. The price of oil is going to continue going up. More and more countries are going to realizing they're not going to have to maintain dollars as the reserves to be able to buy oil. And when that happens, when countries throughout the world begin increasing their gold holdings and begin divesting themselves of dollars, we'll be in real trouble. And, of course, then people will want, of course, bring those dollars into the United States and begin buying up our land, begin buying up our industries, which they've already done. In fact, foreign countries own $3 trillion more of the United States than American companies own of foreign countries' holdings. So we are gradually being bought up. In fact, in my latest syllabus, if you haven't seen it, I suggest people get copies. And we simply list all of the major American corporations that have been bought up. And you're looking at page after page after page after page of American corporations that are being purchased by foreigners. You'd be amazed at how many of our corporations now are no, which we've always considered to be American, are no longer American. So our wealth is simply being taken away from us intentionally. Our leaders are encouraging our factories to move overseas, have created a massive balance of payments deficit that allows other countries to come in here and buy up America. And that's all part of the plan, the equitable distribution of wealth throughout the world and within our nation. Equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations. That's the wording of the Earth Charter, which is the new Ten Commandments for the world that is now stored in the Ark of Hope, the Luciferian counterpart of the Ark of the Covenant. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Well, Ron, have people sort of backed away from gold and silver since it's been gyrating so widely?
It was really starting to business was really starting to perk up, you know, think about 70% rise in the first 5 months of the year, and people were buying gold hand over fist. And of course, as it got closer, if you remember, Dr. Stan, back around Christmas time, I suggested that once silver broke through 10, it would make a mad dash towards 15, and at that time, that would force the monetary authorities to come in and fight it and beat it back down. What I didn't anticipate is they could beat it down from 15 to 950, I have to admit that. But that's exactly what happened. So now it's just another bargain basement time to get in, because all we've seen is a little reprieve where they ambushed the market. They've done absolutely nothing to change the fundamentals of the market. To just put in perspective what you were talking about a few minutes ago, there's about, according to the records, about 4.5 billion ounces of gold in existence in the whole world. At $650 an ounce, that represents about $3 trillion to buy all the world's gold. Now, keep in mind that gold is already owned by someone, and not too many of them are really ready to get rid of it. And yet you mentioned just in the first 3 months of this year, we increased the amount of debt in circulation. That's paper money, debt money, by over $1 trillion. So in 3 months, just our government alone created a third of the money it would take to buy all the gold in the world. So you can see, when you have a monetary system that's been built on debt for 100 years now, where you have, what, $100, $200, $300 trillion worth of paper assets out there sloshing around the globe, and you have $3 trillion worth of gold at today's price to buy it all. So you can see, as foreigners start to accelerate out of the dollar, it's going to take a very small percentage of the money that's in paper assets trying to get into gold to just send gold spinning off into oblivion, and I think that's what's in the process of happening.
But of course, the establishment that is really manipulating this whole thing doesn't want the American people to have a means of protecting their wealth. And that's what Alan Greenspan said in his classic article, essay that he wrote back in 1966. The secret of the welfare state's attack on gold is they don't want you to have a means of protecting your wealth. And, you know, if there was a means of protecting your wealth, they would have to outlaw it. And, of course, Alan Greenspan recently told Congressman Ron Paul that he reread that essay he had written in 1966 and wouldn't change a word of it. So they know exactly what they're doing. Of course, Alan Greenspan comes from the Council on Foreign Relations, comes from David Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission. He's part of the elite group that is ruling the world, and he's been very well rewarded for his treachery. After all, he was given $8 million in advance for his memoirs. He's not even going to write them. He's going to get somebody else to write them. That's pretty good reward for services rendered. So I think that we're moving into some very difficult times, because the way the system is set up is the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and they do not want the average individual to have a means of protecting his wealth. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Ron, what's going to happen to, how are they going to block us from being able to, increase our wealth as they destroy the value of the currency?
Well, you know, all we can do is what we can with our understanding to protect ourselves. If we lose this constitutional republic, which, of course, we've basically already lost except in name, but if we lose this government of freedom, a government of law, then there's nothing we can do to protect ourselves. So that's why, to me, it's so important for people to understand that this is not a matter of just making a few bucks on your gold and your silver. This is a battle for the survival of America as we know it, and a way of life that, you know, the United States is the first nation in the world that was built on this foundation of freedom and limited government. So that's what I see slipping away, and that's the scary thing, because there doesn't seem to be any resistance to what's coming down.
And I agree with you totally, and I think it's so vitally important that people have to understand that freedom is never free. Only a few times in all recorded history have you ever had a system of government where the power of government over the lives of the people was restricted. You saw this with the children of Israel back, you know, at the time after, of course, it come out of Egypt, where actually people, you know, lived without a king. There were judges, of course, that there was God's law, but the people were really free. And then, of course, here in America, where the power of the central government was restricted, that was the secret of America. But from the very time when America was founded, there were always those who wanted a dictatorship. There was always this effort to centralize more power with the federal government, and most of what's being done in Washington, D.C. today is unconstitutional, and the people in our government should be tried for treason. They've sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States, which they're betraying. We've got Leslie calling from Virginia. Leslie, did you have a question?
Yes, Dr. Moncrief and Ron. I wanted to go one step further, because nobody is acknowledging what happened to the European Union, because, as you know, that those poor people, they were sold the bill of goods, cheap labor, and they're living near depression levels right now. But in our country, if the debt, when you file bankruptcy, my understanding, things are going to change. When I say things are going to change, I am talking about, and if you have any knowledge on this, labor, that debt will be repaid. My understanding, they're going to be putting up labor camps for the debt that you owe. I don't know if you, both of you, know anything about it.
No, I don't really know that. I certainly cannot imagine they would put you in a labor camp like in a debtor's prison, but I can imagine they'd leave you in a situation where you're just going to have to keep paying on that debt through the rest of your life.
That's correct, and if you look at the mainstream media, it's constantly with Donald Trump and all, you know, invest, you know, real estate, block, I mean, they're hitting it hard. And I think it's a tragedy. What I'm saying is what you two are saying is in total conflict with the mainstream media. And I shed a tear for the youth of this country. I think it's most unfair.
I think you're absolutely right. In fact, I don't know if you noticed, but all these students have been taking out college loans.
That's
at
correct.
4%, and suddenly many of them are going to be paying over 7% loans, interest on their loans, which is usury, but then who's going to complain? Ron, do you have any response to what Leslie's saying?
Does he know?
Well, you know, they started changing the bankruptcy laws, so that fits right into what she's saying. You can't just walk away from your debts like you used to. Because it kind of, in fact, it reminds me of a Germany 1921 when they started going into hyperinflation. The creditors, the one who had loaned money out, were getting clobbered because they were getting paid back with ever more worthless currency. So they used their clout in the government, in Congress, whatever you called the assembly in Germany, to pass laws that would index the debt to inflation. So by the time they did that, the person who was borrowing was hopeless because he was paying back with more, his debt was going up and he couldn't keep up with it. And then by the time they did it, the creditor had already been wiped out. So both sides got wiped out of the picture.
We're in real trouble, Leslie, but you just keep listening and help and tell people to listen to our program.
I'm going to do that. And, Dr. Stan, can you let the people know also of what these, I call them teaser loans. You realize 40% of the loans, real estate loans, were taken out with these loans that are indexed, and you understand they're not,
You're absolutely right. Hold on for just a moment there, Leslie.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Leslie's basically saying that about a significant part of our loans are the adjustable rate mortgages, or ARM. And, of course, you get in there for 3 or 4%. See, that's almost too good to be true. And the trouble is, it is too good to be true because the adjustable rate of mortgages are adjustable at a certain period of time. And a lot of these are becoming due next a month or so, next year. And, of course, that adjustable rate mortgage at 3 or 4% suddenly got to go up to 6 3/4 or 7%. And a lot of those people aren't going to be able to make their payments, and a lot of them are going to lose their homes.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, so very much, because they're not listening, and they're going to pay dearly, and you know what's coming.
Well, this is exactly what Alan Greenspan said, though. Everything is to keep you from being able to accumulate or maintain your wealth. God bless you. Thanks so very much.
Thank you.
All right, fine.
And thank you, Ron.
Bye-bye. And I think we've got Dan here. Dan, do you have a quick question?
Right. I was just going to say that with all this coming to an exponential head, it seems like there's not really any way people can protect themselves very much, because their money's not going to be worth anything. The people that they count on to be to patronize their businesses and all of these things are going to be cascading. Like you say, one loss is like 5 or 6 people's jobs lost. With 25 million immigrants and all the people on unemployment and the school that people won't be able to go to school, it looks like that there's going to be 60 to 100 million people in this country who can't count on capitalism or free enterprise. The government's going to have to come in and take over.
You're absolutely right, Dan. That's what it's all about. And our job, of course, is to reach as many people as we can and try to get them to do the things that will help them to survive. We're not going to reach everybody, and an awful lot of people are going to lose everything. Ron, would you like to respond to what Dan said?
He's exactly right. We've been talking about this for 4 years. This whole thing is slowly spinning out of control. We're in the merger process of this new world order, where they're now... You're hearing all the talk of the new currencies and the consolidation of power. And so we're seeing a consolidation of governments throughout the world, and that's the new world order that we've been hearing about for 30, 40, 50 years.
Dan, your job is to get people to listen to our program. Maybe some of them can still at least start getting out of debt, start applying themselves, start investing wisely, diversify. But most people are going to lose everything.
Well, thanks a lot, Stan. You're doing a great job.
God bless. Thanks so very much. Well, Ron, I appreciate so much you being with us. Let's get your telephone number out there one more time.
Sure. That's 1-800-595-0561. It's 1-800-595-0561.
All right. I want you to hang on here for just a minute, or we're going to keep you on as we bring all of our stations back on. And we'll let you get your telephone number out one more time. Well, our guest this evening has been Ron Brown. It's always good to have Ron. He's just a week out of the hospital for the major surgery. Sounds pretty good. Appreciate so much his being with us. Ron, one more time, get your telephone number out for our listeners if they'd like to get in touch with you and just chat with you.
Sure. Anyone like, just call me or get the information I can send out to them. Just call me at 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561.
God bless. Thanks very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure, Dr. Stan.
Good night. And that's Ron Brown. And, of course, this is the time we need to tell you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you can help us, we'll certainly appreciate it. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, if you'd like, of course, to have more information on what we're talking about, we have a great talk. It's called Financial Tsunami. It's available in either VHS or DVD. And there's a syllabus that goes with that. If you get the syllabus, why, along with either the DVD or VHS, why it's discounted. And it'll give you all of the latest information. And it has the text of the talk. But even more than that, of course, it has the government figures. In fact, the figures for the first 3 months of this year. You've got to let people understand that on one hand, they pretend to be fighting inflation. On the other hand, they're massively expanding the debt, which is really like expanding the currency. So that's Financial Tsunami, the DVD, the VHS, and the syllabus. And the number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read Ed Griffin's book, Creature from Jekyll Island, you need to get it. You need to understand that the monetary system we have is based entirely on debt. Destroy the debt, you destroy the monetary system. The book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, by our good friend, Professor Anthony Sutton. We recommend the book to you. And then, of course, the little book that was written 100 years ago, by Daniel Dickinson White, I think his name was. Anyway, he was provost at president of Cornell University, Andrew Dickinson White. It's the story of what happened in France in 1789 after the French Revolution when they tried to create prosperity by printing paper money. And reading that book about what happened over 200 years ago is like deja vu all over again. You can see it unfolding in America today. That fiat money inflation in France. Fiat money inflation in France by Andrew Dickinson White. And we have so much other information. We do hope many of you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That you remember that we do carry Berkey products, and if you get them to us, you'll get either a four-tape set or a video that we've produced. And that is if you get the big Berkey or the Berkey Light. And believe me, you need to protect yourself and your family from fluoridated water. And, of course, you have to get special filters to do that, the PF2 or PF4 filters. But they are available through Radio Liberty. We carry Miracle 2 soap products. We carry the Sanjian Radio. We carry the Robinson Home Curriculum. But we have a great collection of videos and of books. And certainly of four tape sets on just about every subject, from Ron Wyatt, my interview with Ron Wyatt on where the Ark of the Covenant is hidden, to my interviews on the O.J. Simpson trial and what really happened. You've never heard the truth about what really happened that evening when O.J. Simpson's wife was murdered, and the fact that there was somebody else's DNA under her fingernails, or why the government and why the media, day after day after day after day after day, immersed us in that trial, and there was another agenda behind the whole thing, and that was to turn black against white and white against black. And every black man believes O.J. Simpson was framed, and I believe he was. And every white man believes he was guilty. And he may have been. They may have framed a guilty man. But why would they have framed him? Because they did frame O.J. Simpson. Whether he was guilty or innocent, he was framed. And then, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty. And, of course, our number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927.